you're talking about being a visitor here, and yeah. there's a long quote from Alison Hargraves right. and David Jefferis.
Yeah.
And one of the phrases they use is the tenuous fantasy of settler belonging.
Yeah.
And they're referring to the actual blockade.
Yeah.
But when I read that, it illuminates or is in sync with the quote of your visitor here.
Mm-hmm.
So this notion of belonging as a settler, Gary Snyder says it's going to take us 1,000 years yeah. to be natives of this place. So you're nodding and smiling when you hear
totally.
That.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think it's true. But it's such a strange thing, isn't it? You know, so I'm fairly regularly travel to England now, and I'm increasingly aware of that's where my ancestors in relatively recent history, my grandparents on one side of my family came from, and they were born. And then I work, you know, I've often worked with Indigenous people here in some of the, on these environmental projects. And I hear them talk about ancestors and numbers of generations they keep in their consciousness and things like that. And I go back there and I go, okay, so here's my ancestors going back millennia, and they're buried in that soil. And but it's never, I never feel like that's home in any way. You try to imagine and think back into your ancestry, but it's not the same thing as the place you're born into. And it's not the same thing as that being there for 1,000 years to really feel like, ah, now I really am a part of this. So you're always in that, what they say, tenuous.
Yeah, the quote was tenuous fantasy yeah. of settler belonging.
Yeah, yeah. So I think in some ways, there's two ways of reading that to me. A more positive side is trying to carefully and through the imagination find your connection to the place without perpetuating problems that have happened in the past. Because the negative side of that fantasy is the fantasy that, yeah, well, what's past is past, and bygones be bygones, and let's get down to business, guys.
Yeah, right.
We're here. Your day is done, and now it's...
I give you 400 for a cloud.
Yeah, 400. Yeah, exactly. 400 for a cloud.
And those people are folks involved in the blockade, I'm guessing, Alison and David.
Well, they're not, but they're thinkers writing about settler colonialism, essentially. But in particular, they're interested in the indigenous blockade, the practice of indigenous people blocking entrance to their lands. Usually what they're blocking is a resource project or development, property development of some kind.
Some kind of rape of the land.
Exactly.
Is what we're talking
exactly.
about.
And yeah. then they're quite interested in the almost like the genre, in a sense, of the indigenous blockade, which has a real potent history in Canada.
Yeah. You know, the interesting thing is when I think of those blockades and I think of Jewel James and the totem mm-hmm. pole mm-hmm. resistance, which mm-hmm. has been successful as well,
yeah.
there is something very, and maybe this is my own bias, but there seems to be a component of an indigenous blockade that very much is about prayer and very much is about, an inner life that is, so the energetics are yeah. used as well as the physical blocking.
Totally.
Which yeah. is not always the case
yeah.
when you see something, maybe a Planned Parenthood protest yeah. or something like that. It doesn't have the same kind of, can I say heart space? I don't know.
Yeah, heart space?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful way of putting it. Sure, I agree with that, totally. There's an Indigenous scholar who teaches at UBC named Glenn Coulthard, and he talks about those Indigenous blockades as they say no in one direction and yes in the other direction. So they're saying no to the outside, saying, no, you can't come in. We're not giving you permission. But at the moment they do that, they're saying yes to something on their side of the blockade, which is all about their relationship to land, how they want to live there, how they have in the past and want to continue in the future. And that has everything to do with heart and with prayer and with a sacred sense of being beings of the land. And it gets really embodied by their blockades, because there'll be what they would call a sacred fire there that they gather around. Literally, it's a fire and you're keeping warm by it, but it's part of the prayerful activity of maintaining the blockade. So, you know, we've been very lucky that in a lot of the activism that's happened here, even when it's not always completely in sync in terms of what settlers, activists are trying to do and what Indigenous activists are trying to do. Nevertheless, time and again, when there's a large protest of some kind, Indigenous people are there front and center. They're drumming, they're singing, and if it's an extensive time, they're building a sacred fire. And we had it on Burnaby Mountain in at our blockade, with Indigenous people there maintaining a fire night and day, week after week.
A vigil.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.